Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Season 11 of The Real Housewives of New York City is coming to an end.
I can't believe it.
We have had a jam-packed season filled with new apartments, new friends. Hey, Barbara. Themed parties, 80s workout classes. There's just so much we need to unpack, especially after the Miami trip.
Yes, like the accusations from Dorinda about Tinsley's financial situation. Do we think she's still with Scott? Luann's self-absorbed cabaret behavior, the untimely passing of Bethany's fiancé, Dennis.
Plus, let us not forget Giovanni. Is Dorinda feeling it?
Luckily, the Roni reunion is right around the corner, but we want to make sure you guys are up to date on everything that happened with the ladies of the Big Apple.
To prep, we have Sonia Morgan, Luann de Lesseps, Dorinda Medley, Tinsley Mortimer, and her mom, Dale, discussing the biggest moments of the season from Bravo's exclusive after show.
We've made sure to highlight all the major drama you'll likely see come reunion time.
So listen up, and please, don't touch the Morgan letters.
Something we hear in the whole season is kind of that Luann's gotten a big head. What are all the ways that Luann's head's gotten too big now that she's a cabaret star?
Well, we all feel like the minions and she treats us like fans. But she doesn't see it.
I think that since she... Sorry, I wasn't asked, but I'll...
Oh, respond. God, and what are you going to say?
I think that she fully believes all of the hype about the cabaret and that she's, you know, a huge star. And I know that
it. she's done a great job. Well.
It's been so successful. And I've been surprised, honestly.
The show's good.
But I think that that made her feel that she and Bethany, who's Bethany is sort of the queen, were more on even level keel. And so she then thinks that whatever Bethany does or doesn't do, if Bethany doesn't show up for something, then she doesn't need to.
There's a complete lack of self-awareness. It's almost like if it's not about her, it doesn't involve her, and the focus isn't on her, she doesn't really have an interest. And I don't know if that's part of a protective thing,
right,
or if it's that, you know,
Luann says she's in a protective mode to make sure she stays on track with her sobriety, but sometimes it doesn't feel that way. It feels like she's just very focused on
and
her.
And I understand that, Sonia, but yeah, within that, she is sometimes not protective of others. She has a very free hand with giving judgment and passing judgment on others. So that works, but it's got to, you know, the hands got to shake each other.
I also, this might be going to sound really bad, but I think Luann, you know, likes to drink. And, you know, Bethany sort of spearheaded the whole mission to get her back into rehab.
Oh, yeah, you said this.
So I do feel like maybe there was a little bit of, like, she's pissed a little bit at her. Because I think she was sort of...
Wanted to keep on drinking.
Maybe.
Bethany stopped it.
Maybe. I mean, I know that sounds really bad, but I kind of just feel like there's a little bit of, like, she's a little pissed. I don't know.
I think all roads just lead back to Luann, where, why, I mean, I'm the one that just came out of recovery. I should get the best room. And not that, right. In every situation, we've talked about this with stuff that we've had to go through. You have to take responsibility for your actions.
Well, Luann's not going to do that because it cracks the fantasy world that she's living, and it has to look so good to everyone all the time.
I'm the entitled one, and Ramona's the one who expects 5 different birthday parties on her birthday?
Ramona's just as selfish.
Yeah, and Ramona does what she wants when she wants. And she doesn't often take in consideration other people's feelings. She really does stuff in the moment, and if it involves you, great. If it doesn't...
Ramona can't talk about Luann because she can be very selfish herself.
And demanding.
And very demanding. I mean, her list when we travel is this long.
Different. But pretty entitled.
Bethany got all dressed up for Halloween. Here she's out. It's Halloween night. And I thought, you know, she might have stayed for the performance. I was surprised that she didn't.
Outrageous.
Crazy.
Hey, Bethany had to go home because Bryn was at home.
Right.
She
did
really
she see the show?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Bryn is up waiting at 11 o'clock at night.
Basically, it was about Luann. It wasn't really about Bethany. She just didn't want Bethany to leave. She thought she should stay there with the rest of the fans.
Bethany left with only 10 minutes for me to get on stage, so I was disappointed that she left.
The only person Lou really wanted at the Halloween party was Bethany. There's something going on this year where Lou definitely needs to have Bethany's approval, mm-hmm. adoration,
yes.
presence. I was like this the whole time, but I'm here.
I'm here. But where's Bethany? Did Bethany come?
Did Bethany leave? And you got to remember, we got there at 8.
Yes.
And she was supposed to go on at what?
11.
And Bethany has a small daughter at home.
With a babysitter.
We all forget because our children are raised, you know, when you have a small child at home, you want to get home. Not just to put them to bed, but to get home.
Is it possible that you stayed upstairs for so long that night so you could avoid all the drinking at the party?
You know, it's a full-on party. I was downstairs for a while. You know, I felt like it was time to go back upstairs and get ready for my appearance. You know, I had dance moves to remember, so I wanted to psych myself up for the appearance.
Why do you think that she seems to be trying to vie for Bethany's attention so much?
It's a litmus test so she feels she's arrived, because she is now the queen of cabaret.
You know, she wants, I think there's a little bit of, we're up here, we're now being her and Bethany, mm-hmm. and the rest are down here.
Yeah, we feel
so,
that way.
So, you know, she likes to greet the minions from a higher point.
That's how we feel anyhow.
And it's definitely how we feel, so it's like Bethany, Bethany, Bethany. And you know, there's that old saying that, you know, kind of take your knee off my neck, because she's constantly, Luann is constantly trying to reiterate how great and
how fabulous everything is in her life.
Yes. At the cost of
ours. And we start feeling like bit players, you know, sort of.
I don't.
The girls love to play up the diva countess side of me, and they fail to see the down-to-earth, humble person that I am. Or that I can be.
Dorinda, why did you feel the need to tell Bethany about Luann saying that she was going home to watch her daughter sleep?
Because I am Dorinda Medler.
I love it.
Don't
I love
you
it.
She named me.
Yeah, the Medler.
And also, too, I just feel like Bethany needs to see what's going on. Yeah. There's a lot of people this year that have been sort of, the magic dust has been thrown in their eyes and are only getting one side of the story. And I am here to let them know the other side. You know what they say in life? There's two sides to a pancake.
That's true.
I'll be there for the next intervention, God forbid.
I think it's really mean for her to say that she'll be there for my next intervention. It's a mean thing to say. It fails in comparison to me giving a dig about her going to watch her daughter sleep on Halloween night. I don't think I said any negative thing about Brynn. It wasn't about Brynn. It was about you're going home from the party and she's sleeping, and what is the point? You know, it wasn't about Brynn. It wasn't being nasty to Brynn. It was basically a comment about, it's Halloween night, where are you going?
So you are sorry that you said that about my daughter and sorry that you called
me
the queen bee?
Well, I'm glad you came. I'm sorry you missed me because I would have loved for you to see me.
Is that the apology? You're sorry I didn't get to see you.
I'm sorry you missed my performance? That's her apology?
It's just Luann.
Luann's
just
sort
can
of
you
clueless
say
as it
Luann.
Comes to that. She's really... She has a difficult time being very self-aware.
Luann never just apologizes. I've never
heard
her say that she's a real yeah but. You know a yeah but?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm sorry but.
You missed my performance.
I shouldn't have done that but. She's a real yeah but. Luann doesn't really feel the need to ever acknowledge or apologize for things. She lacks self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And Luann has a magic way of turning, you know, truly lemon into lemonades. The truth is, she doesn't hold herself accountable to the standard that the rest of us hold ourselves accountable, or she holds us to.
You know, it's really upsetting to hear somebody like Dorinda, who says that she loves me and who's a friend, to say something as negative as I've never had to apologize for anything in my life. That's not true. And I certainly did apologize when I got arrested, that's for sure.
So no, I don't think that Luann really likes to acknowledge anything negative.
It's the same MO when she was gonna marry Tom no matter what. She doesn't wanna see the flaws or the cracks. So whatever you tell her, you're not gonna get an apology that reflects on her actions. So it gets to a point where it's just a reflect, she just can't have herself look bad.
She's also not malicious, though.
No, she's not mean or malicious,
yeah,
really.
It's not coming from a mean place.
She's
I think she's just kind of clueless
of the world around
it.
Her. It's Luann's world, and we're all living in it, is what it is.
Bethany's trying very hard to make a case for herself, and she's pulling every fish out of her fishing net in order to prove her point and validate what she's saying. Why?
Why didn't Ramona come to Luann's Halloween party?
Because
you want to start with that one, because I'm
Ramona is famous for the better, bigger, more expensive invitation.
And without even telling me, she just doesn't even show up. She just skips it to go to another party.
We know there was a party at Omar's. And I think the same people that attended the Omar's party attended Denise Rich's Angel Ball.
Oh, Ramona can totally be a social climber and, like, go for the bigger, better deal. Like, she went for the better table with Dorinda at the charity event.
62. All right, 62. Can I sit next to you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm with Della. I'm at 61. What table are you at?
So that was a better event for her, she thought.
Bigger, better, richer.
Yeah.
Which was maybe bigger and better in her mind, but that Halloween party, that was the best party in New York to go to.
She dumped us, basically, for these people. But she got to this too late.
I think she got there at midnight.
Yeah, after everything was over.
Was she always that way? Was she always a social climber, or is this just since her split with Mario?
I think it's intensified. I think Ramona's always been very ambitious. She's a go-getter. Mm-hmm. She likes to be in the right place at the right time. But now that is on steroids of like 1,000.
Yes, I agree.
She's a superhero social
climber. She's always planned ahead and put herself in the right place by buying her house in the Hamptons, buying tickets to the right charities. But now she's on steroids, I agree.
And there's nothing wrong with, listen, wanting nice things for yourself and putting yourself in good positions. But when it's at the cost of others, and when it hurts other people's feelings or leaves friends out, it's not good.
Well, we're the
it's
real
exclusionary.
Friends. At the end of the day, it's going to be her and I with the 2-for-1 martinis at 6 p.m. Where are these people going to be?
You know, the person hosting the party at Scarpetta had asked if you should be on the list, and she said no.
No. Did you see that yet?
No, I haven't. I heard something about that.
When you gave the list, didn't you include
it? I didn't do it. This was from Lucia.
I'm friends with Lucia.
You're going to have such a fun birthday lunch.
Yes,
cheers.
Well, that's my favorite place.
I wanted to add Sonia if there's space. No, okay. No?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to ask, right.
Lucia arranged the party. I think it was Lucia asked to put you, and they didn't have it on, but she actually asked to put me. I was banned from the beginning. You got banned.
Right.
She told Lucia. To tell you the truth,
but Lucia,
it makes no sense to
Lucia
me.
Lucia and I go way back. From Europe. And
well, Lucia was surprised. Because remember, I threw Ramona's 60th
yes!
birthday
amazing
party.
Amazing party.
With like...
And Lucia was there.
Yeah,
and I was
with like
there.
175
yeah,
people.
Beautiful party. I've been with Ramona forever, since we were young girls, right? And she thinks that these new friends are going to get her someplace. And I feel she's going to be right back with me in the end. Because that's the way it always is. And she's just climbing. And of course, you too.
You know what the thing is? Sonia and I have been Ramona's really good friend.
Yes.
I used to be her day friend because our daughters went to school
right.
together. And she would be with her on her holidays and her night friend. You know,
family,
go to dinners.
With Avery and Mario.
So, you know what? I think she's spreading her wings a bit, and she is very impressed by all these sort of very swishy, swanky Upper East Side women. And, you know, she thinks that there are vacations and holidays and parties and dinners.
That she's never really
been to. And probably potential husbands if she stays.
Well, she's been married. Think about it. She's been married to Mario forever, since a young girl, right? And basically,
married,
if you ask
yeah.
me, she's been on the outside looking in for a while. And she thinks she's going to get in now, but it doesn't work that way. People get their hair up on the back when they think that you're trying to crash a party.
But Ramona does things and doesn't realize it's hurtful. And, you know, for me, yeah. I'm a very forgiving person, but
yeah.
I remember.
Me too.
And she it's kind of gotten to the point now where, I don't know if you think this, but it's kind of gotten to the point now where I'm sorry. Oh, my God, it's my age. I can't believe I did that.
We've heard
but
it.
But it doesn't work for me. And it's not that I don't love Ramona. I love you, Ramona, but I can't put up with the bull anymore.
I think Ramona chose the same night to throw her party because she's just a bitch.
Ramona wanted to have a surprise party for me or for Dorinda, for anyone, just so she didn't have to go to Luann's Cabaret.
Exactly. And she actually
she's such a brat.
She actually told one of my friends, Greg Kaleo, because when he called to say, do you need a list of friends? She goes, oh, no, I don't need to invite a lot of Dorinda's friends.
Or my friends, by the way. And it was for us.
So then we were put in a bad position because then we had to...
yeah, wiggle over there and wiggle out.
But that was a waste of our time. We went there to go see Luann, and she didn't let us come to the back.
She didn't even want to see us. She was
like,
okay, I can't
go to the cabaret.
Actually, what are you doing here?
Go to the necklace table and take some pictures with her necklaces. Yeah.
I had no idea they were waiting outside my dressing room. I was getting ready to go on stage.
She kicked us out. Luann kicked us out.
How do you think it felt? We fought traffic for 45 minutes to get there, to fight traffic for 45 minutes to get to our unbirthday birthday party.
Right.
Supposedly throwing for us.
And then Luann kicks us out of the room.
I mean, it's like a high school play. You know, the parents want to come backstage, but they can't stay backstage because you have to go out and perform. They don't get it.
Luann's all about showing the effort, kissing the ring. You have showed up, kiss the ring. You
now go.
You can now leave.
Exactly. Yeah. I went to visit her while she was recording, and I thought she'd be happy to have a visitor for 15 minutes. And I am myself.
You know, she's
manic.
Like,
oh,
I saw her at your house in Kingston.
And I rode home with her for 2 hours.
Well, at the restaurant, she was screaming.
Yeah.
That's true,
that was the
restaurant.
Oh,
that
the restaurant.
Alcohol,
she was, well, the alcohol and whatever else.
Is there something else?
Maybe she is taking something else. I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
I was hurt when Luann said that because I'm very demonstrative. I'm very high energy. And I thought she could use a pickup for 15 minutes.
I mean, it's above and beyond, Sonia. I mean, she... you know, just wouldn't stop talking. She was taking over the whole rehearsal. It was a disaster. My musical accompanist, Billy Stritch, was like ready to leave because he can't work in that kind of environment. You know, Sonia's talking nonstop. She's moving around. She's being very disruptive, and we can't work like that.
Hurt my feelings. I just wanted
also
to visit
too,
her.
I don't think you've, I mean, with everything that they've been through together and everything that Sonia, you know, Sonia is a keeper of secrets.
True that.
And I don't think that's really a good position to take when you know someone's has a treasure chest of secrets herself.
I don't like that Luann is saying really, you know, anything to do with, you know, some sort of substance abuse.
A judgment
abuse sort
of somebody else's
right.
actions.
I mean, you can't, that's not fair. And Sonia's not acting any differently than Sonia acts. You know, when Sonia sometimes... can act kooky, sometimes act completely straightforward. I mean, that's just Sonia. We've seen that a million times. So nothing's new about this. So it's not fair to start throwing out an accusation that Sonia is on pills just by an observation or a judgment or something. It's just, for all people, Luann is not the one to do that.
Sonia. I don't know where she's coming up with this stuff. I mean, anyway, I don't think you throw stones when you live in a glass house.
You know, when I referred to Sonia taking drugs, I'm talking about popping a Xanax once in a while. I mean, it's quite possible Sonia could be on something. The whole world's on something, right?
I think she's projecting a lot, what she's learning in her meetings, and you know, don't use me as an example of what you've learned in
your
meetings.
No, that's not true, because the meetings aren't about that. The meetings are about humility, about, you know, taking responsibility, mm-hmm. not pointing the finger, you know, worrying about your own garden and not worrying about others. So
good point.
I don't think that's relevant.
Do you remember calling Barbara a space cadet when you were drunk?
Barbara, you're a f***ing space cadet.
You're a f***ing space cadet.
Yes, but Barbara is a space cadet.
So you stammer.
That's in my regular vocabulary. When it comes to Barbara, she's a total space cadet with no boundaries.
Do you remember telling Bethany and Dorinda that they're not hot?
That would be stupid. I don't remember that.
Go to
you
sleep.
You guys are not hot.
We know we're not hot.
That's beyond drunk.
I don't remember that either, but...
Yeah, you sure that happened?
I'm gonna knock you out.
Do
right
it.
Now.
I was gonna knock Bethany out? I probably thought I was speaking to Barbara. I was seeing double and feeling single. She usually my guys.
Oh, these mushrooms are delicious.
You got any guys that you haven't... that you're going to share with us.
She says that's sober.
I say that's sober. I always tell Luann that she my guys. It's always on my mind and it comes right out.
When Sonia drinks, she's sort of an all or nothing girl. You know, when she drinks, she goes for it. It's a party time. And then she can totally not drink for a while. You know, when she lets loose and it's a girl's trip, she lets loose. So God knows. But you know what? The thing is too, Sonia with alcohol, she doesn't drink it as well. I think I have a higher tolerance than she does. That's the thing too. I actually sometimes when she is very, very drunk, I don't realize that she is that drunk because Sonia's just kind of like wacko kooky anyway.
It's hard enough for me to stay sober and then to have to witness this being sober is just very hard. I've been around a lot of drunk Sonia in the past and it's not easy because it's, you know, you have to put her to bed, you have to take care of her. It's not just the ha ha, let's have a good time with Sonia. There's a lot of care that goes into this project after. I think that Sonia and Dorinda, like they say, you hurt the ones you love the most, right? I think that when they drink, they just go after me and they take pleasure in it.
He's Christ my sakes. Lover. Why would you go there? Why
it was 30
you
years ago.
Me?
I agree with her.
Give it a rest. Are you kidding me?
Luann.
We're talking about
that.
Don't
ago. What are you talking about, Dorinda? What do you know
about
that? You know nothing about it.
If you sleep with anything, if I you sleep with anyone,
she introduced me.
I would never want you to sleep with
anyone.
I would never
ever date
him. Why would you sleep with him?
Oh my God.
I decided on this Miami trip that I'm gonna stop treating Luann with kid gloves. And the truth of the matter is, I think it's disloyal. I think all this thing, you know, girl code, and all this money can't buy you class, and all this stuff, you know, she needs to start following her own rules. And there's just certain things in my life that are off limits, and dating anyone's exes or ex-boyfriends, I just would never do. It isn't cool. It's disloyal.
A girlfriend should not really hook up with another man that you know your friend dated, so.
If the girl loved the man.
Right, but I don't think Sonia really cared about Tom, so I don't think it really matters.
Well, who did Tom
date? You didn't know I was with Tom.
I didn't know Sonia ever
dated
Tom.
But Luann knew, because Tom told her.
I never knew Sonia and Tom. I only found out that Sonia and Tom were together, and they weren't even outwardly together.
No, we were on the down low friends. Yeah.
I would have never set Tom up with Lou if I knew that Sonia
was messing with him.
Was dating him.
Yeah, date.
Now, Sonia, has Lou ever dated anyone else you have dated, or was it just Tom that bothered you?
Harry!
No, she took off with Harry when he just gave me the engagement ring. She's like, I'm single, and jumped in a cab with him.
She's holding on to these old stories like she holds on to the Morgan past. You know, I've never dated anybody else other than Harry that has known Sonia. Oh, besides Tom, of course.
And Tom just dates everybody, so.
I just saw Tom in Palm Beach. He always goes to Bukan down the street from us, and he's always in there with this girl or that girl, so.
Yeah. It's just Tom. Over the years, there was the pirate. I invited the pirate to St. Bart's to a party, and that whole party revolved around my friend setting me up with the pirate, and I wanted to have a good time in the garden, and she got there first, and I didn't care. I was like, all right,
but let me ask you something. Did she ever fool around with Harry?
Hell yeah. Harry went around telling everybody all the disgusting facts. That's why I'm so mad at Harry to this day. You never heard about that?
No.
Oh, I'll tell you later.
You took a pretty big fall. Can you take us through that fall at the dinner table? What happened?
Well, I had FOMO, fear of missing out. I wanted to be with the girls. And I basically fell asleep at the table. You know, I've done this at your house, you know, like this. And then when Bethany says, go to sleep! Because Bethany is allergic to anyone who's had too much to drink because of her experience with her mom. And I get it. So when I stood up, I didn't, you know, I was like that pony where all four legs go out. And I just fell under the table because I know how to fall pretty well, being a horseback rider. And then Bethany had to try to get me out from underneath.
It was quite a thing. It was very
Wake up a sleeping bear at the table.
It was very dramatic.
Yeah, but to be serious.
I think it looked more dramatic than it was.
It looked much more dramatic than it was, but to be fair to my friends, it wasn't the Berkshires where everything is soft and cushy. Here we had some hard angles, some marble, and I did scare my friends, which I didn't think was a good thing. But I woke up with all these sticky things all over me. That part I really didn't remember. I think once I laid down and the professionals were there, that's when I let myself sleep.
I think when you fall like that, you gotta definitely call 911.
But also I'm glad we did it because Luann was saying all these things about me that I was taking pills and that I was, I don't know what all she said I was doing. But this way, with the professionals there in the medical field, they took my blood and they said, no, she doesn't have any of that. She's fine. She just had too many rums after no food and a long flight.
I am very relieved to hear that Sonia's pupils don't appear to look like she's taken anything. And I want to shove that straight up Luann's ass because it's a really horrible accusation.
I'm going to shove those vitals up your ass. It's just aggressive and unnecessary and uncalled for. I think talking about an occasional Xanax taking, what is this? This drug that all the ladies on the Upper East Side take to stay thin. They're all on it. The kids use it to study.
Oh, Adderall.
Adderall. You know, when paramedics check your eyes for drugs, it's because they're looking for major drugs, not the occasional Xanax that you take to sleep at night.
May I ask what you drank last night to get to
were just those rum things.
No, how many?
Like five.
How many drinks do you think Sonia really needs?
12. Well, they were five rum drinks.
with sugar.
Who knows?
And I don't drink rum. You know, I don't even know that I had five.
You have to remember, you literally get there and they have trays of drinks everywhere.
Right.
So
right.
It's not like, I mean, I know everybody's
and
thinks
they were
counting,
like, they were like this full, if you go back and look. They're like this full. I don't even know that I had five. For me, two will do it.
She had a peak too soon or moment. She peaked too soon.
I'm a lightweight.
Luann's story of when she found out you fell and why she didn't check on you has changed quite a few times. Why do you think she really didn't come and check on you?
I think she was being selfish, and I don't really believe the excuses. I'm sorry, and I'm going to, you know, talk to her about this.
Barbara came, and she told me the paramedics were there, and after everything that she said to me, I just can't look at Sonia right now.
You didn't check on Sonia?
I didn't check on Sonia because I didn't know what happened to Sonia. I was in bed.
I was really uncomfortable with the situation. I knew the paramedics were taking care of her, and she was so nasty to me the night before, I could not bring myself to do it.
But she should have come up to see me. It's sort of like her lame excuse about the fish room. She couldn't go there because she drank there, but she goes to other places like the cutting room where people drink. Her cabaret people drink. She couldn't be around me because I was drinking. I've been there to hold her up and be with her when she's crying and drinking. She needs to be there for me too, whether she's sober
yeah,
or not.
Yeah, like, it's not a one-sided deal. No. And I'm not saying she had to sit there and sleep with her, but she should have definitely checked on her. I mean, Sonia could have been really hurt.
Yeah.
To just go to bed, what is the message?
I would think she would want to know with her own eyes.
I don't even think she went to Bethany
okay.
And to any of us. I don't remember
to
coming
ask.
To us and say, is
yeah,
she
Yeah, there's
okay?
a good point. She could have asked any of you.
That was just like straight to bed. Well.
After Sonia said some devastating things to me last night, nobody's checking on me to see how I'm doing. Does anybody check on me? Are you okay, Lou? Did I bring a bottle of vodka back to my room? Which God knows I wanted to.
This again is a prime example of Luann just sort of being a little bit clueless to the situation and thinking that why would someone need to go check on her?
We didn't go check on Luann because we were hoping she'd take a minute to think about what we were saying finally, because if we go to talk to her, she just spews back more excuses.
Well, how about this? There was an ambulance in the driveway and Sonia was passed out because she just took a horrible fall.
Oh, was that simultaneous? Oh, I
yes.
didn't know that.
So I think that sort of wins.
And in all honesty, I mean, Luann being a nurse should have gone, and former nurse, should have maybe gone and checked on Sonia.
I don't need a friend being disgusted when I'm drunk.
Me.
I need a friend to ask
yeah,
me, why are you drinking?
You know, you've never said to her, I was disgusted when
never.
She got arrested on New Year's Eve.
No, we all said we were proud of her and her strength and that she got through it, and the bologna sandwich must have been a killer in jail, and she ate it anyway because, you know, what else could she eat? Poor thing. That's all they give you in jail. It's a bologna sandwich.
I wouldn't know.
Sonia was fine after the meeting and the whole car ride over to the pool, and all of a sudden she's not fine.
I'm leaving. I can't do this.
She's having a breakdown.
So I'm not quite understanding where this is coming from.
Well, in the car, I could not talk to Luann about the distress I was feeling about the meeting because I know she enjoys the meetings immensely. When I got to the pool and Tinsley said, how was the meeting? I just, you know, the dam broke. I knew I could share my real feelings with the rest of the group.
I don't get the feeling that Luann is aware of anyone else's feelings. When you take someone to an AA meeting, it should be about everybody that's going. And I think each one of these things are sort of centric to Luann. What I took from seeing Sonia getting upset was it made her uncomfortable. It's okay. It's not for everybody.
I felt bad about, you know, people I couldn't fix or take home with me.
And
you know, at the townhouse, I have a reputation for bringing people in. There's a joke, actually, at Improv Asylum where they're like, oh, Mrs. Morgan, the intern, comes back. We found the first homeless person half a block away. We're going to move him in.
And I get the feeling that Luke is able to detach herself from that and use it more as a sort of another way to express herself.
She no. likes to get up there like
she
it's
talks.
Cabaret.
I know.
She talks.
Yeah, she
talks. Well, because I went to an Al-Anon on? Meeting with her. I could tell you like to. You
she
know.
Loves
yeah, well, you know,
it.
I like to be on stage. If Sonia thinks that I go to my AA meetings in order to get on stage, no, I like to be on stage. I think that's pretty low.
I think you really internalize
that. I really do. It doesn't go away.
Dorinda, what would you have done if Luann tried to get you to go to an AA meeting with her?
You'd go.
I'd go. I don't have any problems with that.
weren't on vacation as a group, you'd go. In New York, I'd go and hold her hand. But not when we're on vacation together.
Listen, if she wanted me to go to an AA meeting with her, I'd go. If she wanted me to go to church with her, I'd go.
Right,
if she wanted me to take a walk with her, I'd go.
Yoga.
That's what you do. You want to do yoga, I go. Yeah. And if it would make her happy.
I just didn't like when Luann said, oh, you should go to a meeting. She didn't make it like, oh, Sohn, could you come to the meeting with me? I don't want to go alone. That's what I did.
I thought she treated it a little bit like saying, like, I gotcha. Okay, now you need to join the tribe.
I can't talk to you. Well, because every time I talk to you, you have a drink in your hand. I'm like, well, we are at a cocktail party.
At this point, I'm dealing with a bunch of gangsters. It's really Lou against the motley crew.
Jesus, I go for a swim and this is what happened.
Well, you did. And you also just
gotta be careful when you leave the room in this group, huh?
And then she never came back 4 hours later.
And she did a photo shoot and she did.
Went to see her billboard.
Went to see a billboard. And these trips are about bonding together. It's not about, you know, what exactly we're doing, but we went back, we made lunch together, we sat at the table, we laughed.
Talked to me to see what was upsetting.
There weren't a lot of opportunities on this trip to sort of
engage
with Luann. We use these trips as a time to sort of hammer out things that are bothering each other, get closer, laugh, you know, be engaged in each other's life. And I didn't really feel, I felt like she was getting through it.
And this is the episode where you kind of make fun of Tinsley accidentally slurring her words at the dinner.
That was no accident.
And you never stood up for her.
I never watched.
They're all after Lou, the family's all at the table. Bada bing, bada boom, and then Tinsley's gotta chime in. And slurring, forget it, I don't wanna hear it.
You, like, you can't do that. That's like when she
doesn't
did,
she
but that's the
know
same thing
can.
When she did to Dorinda in Cartagena.
I know it.
You can't do that.
It's you coming, can't do that.
Coming from the place where she is, you can't do that. So she did that to me.
It's righteous.
Which I didn't really remember, but she did apparently, and that really set Bethany off. And she was like, and that's what like triggered Bethany to jump on her. And
you are intolerable. You never change, because you never change, because you dined out on your sobriety. You're dining out.
I'm not dining out on my sobriety.
Yes, you are.
I think for Bethany to say that I dine out on my sobriety, that I use it as a crutch, is really lame and one of the most hurtful things I've ever heard in my life. What does Bethany know about sobriety?
I always say that she's on a soapbox about her sobriety. I think that she uses it.
That's not good.
That's not the way you should. From what I understand,
it's her calling card right now. It's something she's on a soapbox about.
It's not an excuse.
She talks about it and she knows all about it and just she acts like she's the first alcoholic to ever walk the earth and it's not good for other people who take it very seriously.
Understand that I did your intervention and my ex-boyfriend or ex-fiance died of an overdose and you haven't checked in on me. Do you understand?
Listen,
I did your intervention while my guy died of a drug overdose.
Why do you think Bethany lost on you at the dinner table?
I think Bethany's got a lot of issues and a lot of anger. And a lot of stuff going on in there. It's not just about me.
Well, Bethany bent over backwards for Luann and they weren't even the closest of friends. I had let her know that some things were going on and I wasn't comfortable, but I didn't feel I could do anything. And Bethany really stepped up to the plate and helped with the intervention, brought her a lawyer, helped her with her PR, everything, and then
got her into rehab.
And then Luann crapped all over it, basically. So yeah, she got fed up.
You know, I think her breakdown had a lot to do with Dennis, with her own anger and her own issues and her dating and her guilt. And there were a lot of things bottled up in that explosion.
What you saw was just a series of things that just kept happening and happening and happening. And she just, it was like enough. That dinner was enough. She blew up. I mean, we were all sort of, and I'll be honest with you, Sonia, she kind of said everything I'd been wanting to say.
Yeah, yeah,
she kind of was our voice for the group because we were all kind of fed up. And what was the trigger word she said at the restaurant?
Intolerable.
You are intolerable.
I felt bad for Bethany because she doesn't stick her neck out for everybody or make friends easily. And she really did that for Luann and she just got hurt again. Bethany's breakdown touches all, even Ramona. She was crying.
I think Ramona was crying because she realized that this woman is in a lot of pain. And Ramona was really crying because she was so sad for her because there was so much pain and misery and anger.
I was surprised, but she was upset. She was crying.
She cried when Bethany had her big fight with Carol, too.
I don't remember that. I think we were all just sort of stunned. It really did.
It touched all of us.
It touched us. I mean, it was a lot to take on. It's sort of like what just happened?
After this whole thing went down, it was like, I will never bring up myself again, my cabaret. I will never talk about anything personally that means anything to me because I'll be bragging, won't I? So I can't even tell my friends how excited I am about my life and how proud I am of myself for being sober at that point.
When Bethany did that, it really scared her.
It sunk in.
I think it really woke her up. It was like someone gave her a huge slap on her face. I mean, that was what you truly call a sobering moment.
Yeah.
I can't share. I can't tell these women how good I'm doing, how bad I'm doing. Either way, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
And I think that's when Luann realized, uh-oh, you know, we're not the two amigos. Like, I said to Sonia not too long ago, it's a shame because, you know, Luann and Bethany have had their things in their past and they really did bond over this and it really was an opportunity to, you know, work on their friendship and maybe become closer. And, you know, Luann didn't handle it correctly. She sort of got entitled about the friendship.
She burned a bridge and frittered it away. That's terrible.
I think Bethany is very self-protective now.
She's very self-protective. I don't know. She doesn't want to be hurt again, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, people do things. My mother always says this. You know, when you see an incredible anger, it's really just pain.
Yeah.
Because you're frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Have you still stopped talking to them about those
kinds of things? Oh, I don't talk to them about anything.
It's amazing to me, all this talk about Luann. But Bethany just lost someone.
Right.
She's still in the real grieving period. Not sort of like, okay, it happened a year ago, or like me, 7 years. It happened months.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, 14 weeks. And here she is saving Luann, and then loses her boyfriend. I mean, isn't that ironic? She can save the world, she can save Puerto Rico, she can save this, and then she has to go through this terrible tragedy.
To say she wasn't there for Dennis because she was there for me just isn't true. That's misplaced anger, guilt, and misery.
And I think that was just part of the frustration too. It's like, you got problems, well.
Right, that's what I said in my blog. I'm like, leave it to us crazy selfish bitches to, you know, distract Bethany from her grieving process for, you know, 2 days before it hits her that this is enough.
Listen, I think everybody that loses anyone they love has a little bit of survivor's guilt for all kinds of different reasons. Was I nice? Was I good enough? Was I this?
Could I have done something differently?
Could I have done something else? Did I make enough calls? Da, 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 da. So I think that she definitely, it's part of the process of grieving.
Yeah.
And she's still in the midst of, you know, and you gotta remember, one of the main reasons that Luann was able to have all the help and financially, emotionally, and physically was because of Dennis.
Dennis did it for him.
So,
you know, Bethany and I are, you know, have been friends for a long time, and we've been through a lot together.
It's too bad I had to get to that.
I know.
For Luann to realize that she really hurt Bethany's feelings.
And I think it was a sobering moment for Bethany, too, because it was just sort of something happened, and it changed after that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Bethany, once she turns a corner,
you know, certainly this is not the end of the road. Maybe it's a new beginning.
So we see Bethany open up about her new boyfriend in Kingston. What do you think about her new boyfriend?
I met Paul, actually.
In Palm Beach?
Well, in Palm Beach recently, yes. But also I'd met him before, actually, at her house.
Bethany's been on the phone with Paul a lot lately. It is getting real serious.
Having a good time? I don't know.
I don't know Bethany's new boyfriend. I've never heard about him.
Did I hear you have a boyfriend?
I really like him. I mean, he's great. He's adorable, and he's cool, and he's fun, and his parents are hilarious, and I mean,
she spent some time with them in Palm, when Bethany came to Palm Beach, she called Tinsley, and they got together several times,
and
the parents were adorable.
Yeah, parents were awesome, and he's great. I'm really happy for him.
He's very preppy.
Great guy. Yeah.
I'm beginning to think that this relationship that she has been going on with this guy has been going on longer than we all think.
I don't think Bethany necessarily moved on from Dennis, but having Paul to hold her hand and to be there for her, because she knew him previously.
Dennis and she had a, you know, they would break, they were on and off all the time, and they would break up a lot. In between those times, she did, you know, date other people.
I was worried about Bethany going into her cave and becoming very depressed, and this is a much better thing that she has Paul.
I don't think there's any rules or guidelines for grief, and I don't think anyone should comment on it. I think everybody does the best they can, and if that means having a friend, dating, whatever it takes to move through it. The person has died. Mm-hmm. You're not doing them any justice or injustice anymore. They're dead. So what you have to do is what's best for yourself.
Oh, the typical mourning period that people demand and people watch for.
And it's funny, people are very judgmental about that period, and it really surprised me when I went through it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I know she loved Dennis, but he died, and I think that...
I think she kept trying to make that work, back and forth, back and forth.
And I think once he died, it sort of let her go to the place where... Which is horrible to say.
It must have been somewhat of a relief. It's like, oh, okay, now I have to move on.
I mean, half her act is Giovanni, the other half is talking about us, and then there's two songs. Welcome to Cabaret!
It's just so
because
the
she's
opposite.
Correct.
Every woman needs a child.
No, they don't. Every woman doesn't need a child.
But she wants one.
Well, don't tell her that.
She wants
she
one.
She thinks she wants one. That's why she's f***ed up.
That really shocked me. I think she tries to say sometimes, too, it's like, you don't need a child to make you feel, like, fulfilled or happy. You don't need a husband. And first of all, no one's saying I need these things. I'm saying I want them.
It's just so... the opposite of me. When I decided to get married, it wasn't because I wanted to get married and have kids. I fell in love with my husband, and then I said, oh, okay, let's get married. And after we were married for a couple of years, I would look into his eyes and say, let's have a kid. I just don't understand this theory of get married, have a baby. If you want a baby, get a baby. Like Andy.
It seems very scheduled.
Have a baby.
You know, this isn't like booking a dentist appointment.
Right.
You know, I think you...
And plus, she's like a broken record with it all the time.
I don't think Kinsey allows things to just sort of sometimes just flow naturally.
I don't know. Sonia was on a weird kick that night. I really don't understand where it was coming from. I mean, also, I had just found out that Bambi had cancer, and I was just... It was really emotional, and then... I don't know. She just went off on it. I have no idea. I'm allowed to want what I want.
Yeah. And if you remember when Tinsley came on, I said, you need to monogram your towels. Get your own dog. No, I with my
no
mom.
One likes to eat something that's already apartment. In a trap.
Not a
they
hotel.
Like
it looks like a trap.
Do you think that, so I'm assuming, do you think you need a husband to have a baby, or?
No.
No.
Those days are over.
None of us think that.
I say yes for me.
I say no, and I will say this. I have offered
to be the father.
No.
Yes.
No. That's
you
not
technically
what I, well,
have.
Yeah, I sort of have, but I also you have technically offered to offered. Pay for everything to get to, she can pick from the sperm bank.
But then
to have somebody carry it even, because it might be.
Okay, fine. But then the other side of it is that you still are saying, well, that you know, I have you, and that then I can just like, you know, you can also help
take care of it.
Right, it's not what I envision
for my life. The reason it's not what I envision, but the reason I say that is that your time clock, and I feel like we could start the whole process, and then the husband can come in.
Okay, just think it's part of a checklist.
Yeah.
You know, the reality of having, listen, we both have daughters, and I love and adore Hannah, and you know, we're great, you love Quincy, but it is a lot of work, it's a huge commitment, and it's a tremendous sacrifice.
A lot.
So that's the reality behind children. You know, and I don't know if she'd be ready for that.
I still have I want to try it all right now.
Another couple of months.
Mom, stop, it's not funny. I want the father there. I want the child to grow up with, I do, I'm sorry.
I understand that, but the thing
so
is
just,
you don't
so
really,
so if
you
I can't, maybe,
you,
you know, maybe
choice.
I adopt, or maybe I, you know, just have chihuahuas my whole life. I don't know.
You mentioned that you say, you know, your chihuahuas even look like you. Dale, do you agree? Do you think that the chihuahuas look like Tinsley?
They prettier. There's
the chihuahua. I know. Bella was so pretty.
Bella was beautiful.
Bella's prettier than I am. But Bambi, I don't know. I always, I just, you start to just morph. I just would morph, I feel like, into my chihuahua's feet. I don't know. I think I just want them to, I don't know, want them to look like me or something. So I think they do. I don't know. I'm weird. Maybe it's too much wine. Okay. There was a comment about Sonia Mae that I had bought some $2,000 dress in Miami that Zimmerman.
What about the Zimmerman $2,000 dresses and the $10,000 bags? Who's buying those? Because if
me! Do you know how many Zimmermans I bought? How many I always buy? How many like clothes? I do buy a lot of clothes. First of all, I do not have, you know, look, I have, thank you, mommy, family money. Thank you. Which is nice. But also, you know, if they're going to even put it on this, like, I don't have a child that I pay for. You know, Sonia's having to buy flights and things and clothes for her child. Also, you know, they have mortgages and house. I'm just a single girl on my own.
If you really look at Sonia's, the clothing she wears and stuff, she obviously is not someone who feels comfortable, whether she can or not, spend certain sums on clothing.
Why do you both find it so hard to believe that Tinsley is supporting herself?
How?
Because I know.
2 + 2 = what? I mean, stop. Why?
Remember, I know. That's why I invited Tinsley to come with me.
You tell me, where is she supporting herself?
You know what I think? I think that the girls, because Scott was so generous, I mean, he would buy you a pocketbook here or, you know, a handbag.
But a lot of girls
believe me, I know. The point is, I think that they just didn't like you receiving these presents and things. It made them mad. I mean, they didn't like it, and they wanted you to be, and they didn't want you to be dating him. They wanted you finished with him.
I think that, I don't know what I'm saying.
Because most boyfriends, you don't see these presents and things like that, but he's very generous.
I definitely didn't from my ex-husband, but yeah. We're Southern and whatever, and we spend money on clothes and
so I don't understand these comments.
Well, the point is, too, is that Sonia, I mean, they know who, but I mean, it's not like I fell off the turnip truck or something, you know? I mean, it's like they know me.
I mean, they have to have known something about her background as being a socialite, you know, and the, yes. I mean, how did she do that?
Well, okay, what do we have to do every day when we get up to support ourselves? We have to go to a thing called a job and get a thing called a paycheck.
Right.
Yes.
A bank account.
And usually with those paychecks, you can't buy $3,000 and $4,000 worth of clothing at a shot and live in a $15,000 a month hotel.
Hotel with $10,000 bags everywhere.
We're not Cinderella.
Right. Whatever. Yeah. Scott didn't make me, okay? And like, yeah. I just, like, this is crazy.
I made her.
Exactly.
Why don't the ladies believe that you broke up with Scott?
Hold on. Let me just drink to that.
That nothing tracks. It doesn't track. You're still in the mix.
In the mix of what?
You're still in the mix with Scott.
The spending.
It's a mystery. I have no idea.
I don't know what happened. Some sort of conspiracy theory happened. For some reason, that triggered everybody to think that we were somehow still together. I have no idea, and it's so frustrating because actually, you know, my dog Bambi had died, and I wasn't around the girls right after Miami that much, and I think it just started to get this
escalated.
Whole thing brewing more. And
then they also sort of suggested at some point that it was an arrangement.
Yes.
Like,
I am not dating Scott. I actually
love him. My guess, my gut, would be that she stays quiet about him. She doesn't say anything bad about him. She doesn't disparage his reputation. She keeps their relationship secret and says they're broken up, because if they're broken up, then we won't talk about him. Mm-hmm. And in return, he, you know, keeps the credit card open.
Right.
That's what I would guess.
Which I tried to say 2 years ago, and I was accused of calling her a call girl. I wasn't saying she was a call girl. If you want to see someone and they want to float your bill for dresses and shoes so you can look pretty, I have no judgment on this.
As she said, you were a boozy blonde.
Well, that was Sonia.
Sonia, right. You were a boozy blonde.
I know.
And he needed somebody
to travel
be cute
with.
I mean, it was just like insanity.
It was just so,
I mean, they're going to go through this. Why would you waste
your
time
doing
that?
And also, did you see how much I was sobbing at the circus? I'm literally f***ing miserable. I mean, an arrangement, I don't think I'd be crying that hard over. I mean, it would be easy.
So Dale, can we get you giving the definitive answer of, is Tinsley broken up with Scott?
Tinsley is definitely broken up with Scott, and I don't see
I'm dating a couple people right now.
Yeah, she's actually, I'm accused. No, what? I've accused her of being a little floozy in Palm Beach. Because she dates one, and then she dates another, and then another. And the thing is, I love having her with me in Palm Beach, and she will disappear for a couple of days with one, and then disappear.
Okay, stop. That is so terrible. True. But she'll, and you'll call me, and you're like, I'm like, how do you expect me to ever have a baby or get married if I'm not out? So stop calling me at night. She's like, come home, Tinsley, come home. Like, no, I'm not. If I go home, I'm never gonna get married or have a baby. So I'm doing the work.
You're doing the right thing.
I'm doing the work.
Well, coming from me, who had a funeral for Milo when he passed away, I still thought it was way over the top. I think it was also dramatic to the point where she didn't want to come to face the music at your aerobic get together.
Listen,
do you remember? She didn't want to come.
I think we all love, I lost Lucy last year.
Right.
I had her 15 years. For Tinsley, you know, that was her whole life, that dog. I mean, it was like her child. But it was over. And the whole thing, like, I got a pair of Bambi sneakers from Scott. I just thought that was weird.
That, too, was strange that he would send a pair of designer sneakers for a dog passing away.
Look at the name of the shoe. So, yeah.
Bambi shimmer sneaker in silver?
I mean, it's like a cute cheat sheet, but it was sweet. Like, it's called Bambi. I, like, started sobbing, crying.
And the whole time that Bambi was sick, he was sending over steaks from the Breakers.
Right, yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
It's kind of superficial.
For some reason, that triggered everybody to think that we were somehow still together.
I just don't think it's appropriate.
Like a snuggly blanket would be one thing.
Or
something
just a sympathy card, a prayer card, a beautiful set of flowers, a fruit basket.
I'm still best friends with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and just because, and even, I mean, I'm allowed to still talk to an ex-boyfriend or an ex-husband or something. It doesn't mean that we're together.
I almost died when I showed up and she didn't have any eyelashes on and makeup. And she, by the way, looked gorgeous. No makeup, ponytail, jeans, and a t-shirt. I don't know why she doesn't go around that like that all the time. Then she'd attract the right guy.
Yeah. Part of that Ramona subsequently holds at the Miami house where she invites Mario and her date.
The most awkward party in the world.
It was so awkward. I was trying to hide. Party. I was hiding out.
I think it's great that Ramona invited her ex-husband and this date because her ex-husband cheated on her and really publicly humiliated her, and she loved Mario. And I think it's good.
I think
go, girl.
It shows real maturity.
It was so much fun for me to tease.
Well, I mean, Ramona clearly planned it because Ramona likes to be the center of attention. So she loved the idea of having two men there sort of vetting for her attentions.
And you
emotional
know what,
maturity. Still,
he seems cute and sort of interested,
it's
too.
It's better for them to be friends.
And it was cute. She was bouncing back between the two. And they're friends. They are friends. So, yeah, look, they do have a child together, exactly. I mean, it's not, you know.
It's
so
much better
girl.
To stay
that
friends
was
with somebody. Why?
But she,
be
but
strange.
She kind of had him there almost
like
because
it. Of the...
No, it, was, I mean, it could have been almost like she was dating. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think the rum guy liked it. I think Mario found it sort of comical a little bit, but the rum guy didn't like it.
Well,
so,
Mario is used to her, and he gets it. But the rum guy, I agree. I think she tried to use Mario to get the rum guy jealous, but I don't think the rum guy was really into Ramona. Well, you know how a girlfriend stubs her toe and you laugh? I just couldn't wait to tell Mario, like, here you are. I don't know what you're thinking, but there's another guy coming and he's really cute and he's the rum guy. I just love to do that to Ramona.
I feel sorry for Mario.
He seems awkward.
I don't know if he's jealous or horrified.
I'm not sure that they didn't hook up again, but whatever, you know, they were married, it's fine.
The interesting question is not was the last time Ramona saw Mario naked, because I kind of know when that was. My question is, did she go home with Mario that night?
I think that Ramona probably saw Mario naked the night he came to T-Bar.
I agree.
Yeah, when they saw each other, because he went back to walk the dog.
I think she did, but she said he just walked the dog.
Yeah, but they have such a magnetic attraction to each other. It's
do
hard
you think
for me
so still?
Ramona may be cautious because she doesn't want to go back there. Things are so good with her and Mario right now, and her daughter's her number one focus, and she doesn't want to rock the boat.
I think Mario still has an attraction for Ramona. I think Ramona's sort of finally moved on.
Yeah.
I think she enjoys the relationship they have now. We were talking one day, and I think Ramona, you know, sort of mourns what was, but knows that it can't be again.
True.
I think, you know what, too, she looks great. You know, I think she's feeling herself. The fact that he's interested,
I'm sure that it's flattering to her. Since he was the one who strayed.
Right.
That now he's
a younger woman. Now, it's good.
How annoyed were you when Ramona tried to claim Brett for herself in Miami?
Who's Brett?
I met this guy at the party. Actually, it was a guy that Bethany had known and had brought to the party.
I was set up on a date with Brett, and I liked him. He was very, very nice. He's fun.
And he was like, he was really cute. And he's older. He has children. It's like really a good place for me to go.
An older man
with some kids. That's great. They have empathy, and that's a good thing.
Has he called you again?
Yes, I saw him in Miami, actually, recently.
Oh.
Yes, just a day, lunch. Oh. He actually gave me some really good advice about dating. We're friends.
You know that guy I didn't get a chance to meet? Show me a picture. He's like my type, that guy Brian something.
No, Benzo. Brett.
Okay,
Brett.
We're not doing this.
Brett texted me today. Off limits, woman.
Ramona thinks she has first dibs when it comes to everything, including a buffet.
Right, right.
I mean,
right.
You can't even get in front of her at a buffet table.
No. First of all, I mean, I don't know. Ramona had her ex-husband at the party, a date already, and then she's also gonna try to go after this guy. Like, finally, you know, like I have not had any dates at this point, like with anybody after Scott and I broke up. And this was just a nice thing, like, you know, just sort of play around, have like a little fun.
I think it's because innately she feels like she has more dating coquette
practice?
Flirting skills than anybody.
She just deserves them.
That's where she feels her, and nothing against her. She feels her confidence. She knows she is a little.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's cute.
I mean, typical Ramona trying to, you know, not only was Ramona actually trying to get him, Luann was too. And actually, I saw Luann after I chatted him up and he got my number and everything. And I was like, okay, good, whatever. Then I saw Luann over there, like, really doing, you know, her little moves and stuff on him. And I was like,
I don't know. I don't know why Ramona thinks she has first dibs on guys because she has bigger boobs.
Want to come?
No.
What about Barbara?
She can come,
of course. Barbara,
want to come?
Barbara's single.
No, she doesn't want me to come, and that's quite all right.
It is?
You know, she doesn't. Okay. You can say it. I don't care.
You know, Ramona can be a very mean girl, so it doesn't surprise me that she would exclude Barbara right in front of everybody else.
No tact. And, like, she just will say what she thinks, and there's no...
I love that about her.
But it's funny because she with Barbara, I mean, it started in the beginning, even the beginning.
Ramona is a mean girl when it comes to Barbara.
Ramona's becoming a mean girl. She's full of herself.
And Ramona just decided early on that she didn't like Barbara. There's nothing about Barbara, sensibility, dress, interaction that she liked.
Nothing.
I also think Ramona was being a little loyal to me because she knew that Barbara and I had been good friends, and it was almost like Barbara was mesmerized or drugged or something, the way she was acting the whole season. It was bizarre.
With Luann?
Yeah.
When it came to Luann,
Luann could be, you know, doing anything, even right in front of her. She's like, absolutely not.
The problem is Luann's not going to be there for her. That's the problem, so.
And it was just funny, and it was just uncomfortable to be around seeing her just be so blatantly mean and just be like, no, you can't come with us. And by the
way, we're talking here.
Let me just tell you something. There's nothing that Ramona and I need to do to catch up about.
Tinsley and I are gonna catch up. We got Tinsley and Ramona's stuff to catch up on.
I didn't want Ramona. I don't know. I don't even know how I let her even come with me.
You can't change leopard spots, just like you can't change Ramona Blue. She's a mean girl.
Did Luann help Barbara get acclimated into the group?
No.
I didn't feel like Luann was there for Barbara.
I'm on my own here. You know, Luann has not helped me at all. She's kind of just checked out and worried about herself.
If she thought that Luann was gonna be there for her, I wasn't feeling it.
Luann definitely had Barbara do some dirty work for her, really, and didn't really think that she wasn't, you know, helping to support Barbara within the group. I mean, she was basically drawing lines, you know what I mean? In the beginning, I mean, Dorinda was really upset, you know, that she wasn't invited to the clam bake.
Well, she's her closest friend, so she...
No, that's not true either. I was very close to Barbara. You didn't know
but,
that?
But Luann and Barbara are very close.
Well, now they are, but I was very close to Barbara. Barbara became closer to Luann because she became one of her, part of the team that was, you know, which was sort of helping and supporting Luann.
Interesting.
But I actually was the one
I knew Barbara before Luann, and she did some work at my townhouse.
You know, coming into this group, it can be really tough, and, like, we're all really tough girls, and I think that, you know, when I came in with Sonia, when Sonia introduced me to the girls and stuff, you know, she helped me more, you know, get involved more with the girls, and I think that Luann just wanted to keep Barbara for herself, and I think it really ended up hurting Barbara because we never really got to know her.
Yeah. Okay, so I already know the answer since I was at the Roni reunion, but over or under, the first argument is going to break out in the first 5 minutes?
Oh, under.
See if Eric is right by catching the Roni reunion part one premiering Thursday, July 11th at 9, 8 central.
And we'll be back with a regularly scheduled episode of The Daily Dish this Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed.
Bye.
Bye.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Yeah. Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.